Well, good morning, everybody. My name is Tom Wetherill, and I'm the assistant pastor here at Kennet Valley Free Church. We're coming to a time where we're going to look at God's Word together. Before we do, I've got a confession. I love Christmas music. Absolute love Christmas music. And me and Caitlin, who you just saw on the video, we've been listening to it for a few weeks now. But it turns out that we are not the only ones. Apparently, the UK has been getting ready for Christmas even earlier than normal this year. Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas Is You hit was in the UK top 50 charts back on the 2nd of November this year. Isn't that mad? But whilst it's not yet December, today we are beginning our Advent series that's going to take us up to Christmas. And I think that's great because Christmas has so much real hope to offer us this year. So I'm excited. And if you've ever been around church at Christmas time, maybe to a carol service, you will have heard these words from John chapter 1, verse 14, which say, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." Now, in a way, these are strange words, let's be honest. I once bought the audiobook of John's Gospel for a lady that I was caring for when I was a care worker. She loved audiobooks. She wasn't a Christian. I thought, I'll get her this. And I came back the next week, and she said she'd listened to the first chapter and just said it was really strange. Fair enough. But here's the thing. It's been a strange year, hasn't it? And everyone is looking for hope. So might it be that this year, for our friends and our family, might they be open to a hope that comes from a similarly strange place? Well, I think so, and that's why I'm excited that we're going to be spending the next few mornings leading up to Christmas looking at this verse, John chapter 1, verse 14. This morning we're going to be looking particularly just at the first two words, the Word. But then also, as Kate shared with you, we've got our flyer of the events that are going to be happening, hopefully, over this Christmas season. So to give everybody the opportunity, after a challenging year, to hear the good news and hope of the Christmas story. So do look out for those, send them around so that people have the chance to engage with these events. I'm going to read for us now the whole passage that surrounds that verse, just so we've got a bit of context as we begin this series. So we're going to be looking at John chapter 1, verses 1 to 14. And this is the introduction to John's account about Jesus' life. And John was a follower of Jesus and one of his closest friends. So let's read that together. Do get it up on your phones or on a physical Bible and follow along with me. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." Do you keep that open in front of you so that you can see that what I'm saying is coming from there. So after this year that we've had, is there any hope for Christmas 2020? Is there any hope for Christmas to be filled with meaning and with wonder? I think that's a fair question to ask. And is it possible to have an answer to that even before Boris announces his next plans for after kind of the beginning of December? Can we know that there is hope, that it is possible for Christmas 2020 to be filled with meaning and with wonder? Well, we're hopeful, aren't we? Yes, I hope so. But is there something, maybe one thing, that can guarantee something more? Well, if you've seen any of this year's Christmas adverts already, then we could begin to think that maybe there is something. These companies have been doing their absolute best to convince us that there is still hope for Christmas 2020. They've been working for months on their adverts. And I'm sure that way back at the beginning, as they were kind of planning what they were going to do this year, they asked this question. What is the big idea? What's going to be the big idea, this message that is going to connect so deeply with us, the viewers, that we're going to associate their product with the potential for a more meaningful Christmas filled with wonder? And I think it's fair to say that a number of them have done an absolutely smashing job of it. And we anticipate it and look forward to it every year in the hope that we'll be moved and reminded that there is hope for something more to Christmas and maybe even more to life. Here's a few examples of what we've had going on this year. We've got McDonald's that kind of selling this message that Christmas, you know, could we go back and enjoy the wonder of being a child again? Or John Lewis, after a challenging year, could we transform things? Could we transform the world around us with kindness? Or even Disney, they've jumped in this year. Could we make sure that we're not too busy to miss out on the important things, our relationships, this Christmas? All big ideas which do connect with us. And I'm sure many of us, we watch them and on some level are thinking, yes, I want that. And then you get teased for crying in an advert. But that's because we do want something more. Now, a good question to ask is, can they deliver? Obviously, what they want to do is, want us to take away, is that that these things are going to be achievable because we buy a Big Mac or shop at Waitrose or watch Disney movies together, which actually is quite a huge stretch, that maybe in some way these things might offer us this. Maybe they could do temporarily. But is there something more than that? Is there a bigger idea that is going to reach us this Christmas? Well, John, who is writing this account of Jesus' life, he believes that he's found it, or rather that it's been shared with him. John believes that God has a bigger idea for filling our lives with meaning and with wonder. And God's big idea was to give us himself by sending the Word, Jesus Christ. The words, Jesus Christ can offer us something more. Now, you and I, we might be familiar with Jesus. Others might not be. But today we're going to think about some good reasons why he's the big idea worth looking for something more this Christmas. Now, just before we do that, I think it's important that we ask another question. Why does John introduce this account of Jesus Christ by calling him something completely different? He calls him the Word. The Word. Now, I believe he does this because he's waving a big arrow to his audience to say that what you're looking for in your big ideas can actually really truly be found in God's big idea. Two of the audiences that who would read John's letter, John's account of Jesus' life, were the Greeks, those who were influenced by a Greek philosophy, and Jewish people. Now, the Greeks had a big idea that which they called the Logos, which translated means the Word. But they were looking for something to make sense of the universe. But they believed that it was some big rational principle, an unknowable X factor that our lives come from, the Logos. Whereas the Jewish people had a big idea, and they also called it the Word. The Word of the Lord is a phrase that you'll hear in the Old Testament. And it's the idea that God was actively revealing himself at a particular time and place throughout history, like when he spoke through the prophets. And so John uses these ideas of Logos, the Word, to say to the Greeks, well, actually, the Jewish big idea is closer to what's true. But also, he's saying to the Jewish people, but it's more than just knowing truths about God. The Word is a person that you can know. You can know God. This person is at the heart of why you and I were made, and he is more than just a rational principle. He is a person that you and I can relate to. And this is good news for us this morning, because God knows that you and I need more than belongings and food and human relationships to fill up our lives with. He knows that we need more than just an abstract answer about the universe. And he knows that he's made us for more than just truths about him, but instead to know him. As the Christian thinker Augustine once said, "Thou hast made us for thyself, O Lord, and our heart is restless until it finds rest in thee." If we want something more this Christmas, our best hope is to listen to God as he reveals himself personally through the word, Jesus Christ. Now, what do you expect we're going to find if we listen? What can we find if we do that? Well, that's the question that I want to spend the rest of our time thinking about. What can we expect if we really listen to the word, God's revelation of himself in Jesus? Well, the first is this. If we listen to the word, then the noise of 2020 will be quietened with truth. The noise of 2020 will be quietened with truth. I think it's really fair to say that this year has been a noisy year, with so many different opinions flying around, conspiracy theories, news announcements. It's enough to leave any of us disorientated and overwhelmed. But John is telling us that the word reveals us to us truth about God. It speaks to us through the noise and drowns everything else out. It's a truth that is constant and unchanging. Such knowledge of God can bring rest to us when we are bombarded by the racket of our everyday lives. And just in these first few verses of John chapter 1 in the introduction, we are given some incredible truths that we can now know about God because his word has come. So let's take a few minutes to look at some of those. First of all, Jesus Christ has always existed. We read, "In the beginning was the Word," verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. Now, John is very obviously talking about right at the beginning of the creation of the universe. He's using that Genesis language that we see at the beginning of the Bible. The Word was there, the Son of God. Jesus Christ is not part of creation. Before anything else was, he was. And verse 3 uses language to make that really clear. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. John's saying, don't fall into the trap of thinking Jesus Christ is just an addition to the story that's been added a bit later. No, everything in the world that has come into being through him. So if you had this category of created things and non-created things, everything is in the created category because of Jesus, who sits outside of that. He is eternal, which means that as you and I get to know Jesus Christ, we are getting to know the eternal God, the God who has always been and will always be. And that's not going to change. Jesus Christ is the unchanging truth about God. And he's not going to stop existing any more than God is going to stop existing. In the same way that if a lamp is on and power is flowing through it, we will see that the light comes from it. You can't have one without the other. You will always be able to look to Jesus, the Word of God, to see and know the eternal God. Incredible. Secondly, Jesus Christ was eternally with God. I'll stress that differently. Jesus Christ was eternally with God. The Word was with God in the beginning. Now, that might sound very similar to what he's just said before, but the emphasis here is on Jesus being with God. John wants it to be really clear that the Word of God is distinguishable from God. For one to be with the other, there has to be multiple persons. And this reveals to us part of a picture that Scripture paints about the nature of who God is, that God is one being in multiple persons. Now, many reject this idea because of preconceived ideas about who God is and what he can and can't be. But here John wants to make it clear that the Word is distinct from God. And you can see that there on the diagram on the screen. But more than being with each other, kind of like how, you know, if two British people were with each other, standing in a queue next to one another, kind of awkwardly and silently, this with is relational. And so we learn that amazingly, at the very beginning of everything, there was not simply nothing, but there was God who is multiple persons relating to one another. Diversity, Father, Son, and Spirit together in unity. Now, I'm sure there are many people that you would have liked to at times kick out of your bubble during lockdown. But here with nervous laughter at the back of the room. But actually, when I've lost myself now. But actually, we realize that John is revealing a relationship about God that is eternally perfect. In a fractious and noisy world, Jesus reveals to us an eternal and perfect relationship. And thirdly, Jesus Christ was one with God. We read, the Word was God. And so what's revealed to us here is the oneness of God. And it's important that John has just said that the Word was with God, because otherwise we'd read the Word was God and believe they were just the same person. But he's helped us to avoid that mistake. Now, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are distinct persons. And yet, in all of them, we see the same glory, the same beauty, and the same power of God. Which means that for you and me, as we have our questions about who God is, it means that we can look at Jesus, look at the Word, and know that he displays the same glory as God. Jesus Christ, later in the Gospel of John, says, to his disciples, whoever has seen me has seen the Father. Now, they've not seen the Father there in person, but if you've seen the character and heart of Jesus as he shows compassion for the woman at the well, then you have seen the character and heart of the Father. If you've seen the mind of Jesus as he teaches and shares his plans, then you know the mind and the will of the Father. And if you've seen the power of Jesus as he heals and raises people from the dead, then you have seen the power of the Father. Now, there's so much more in these verses and in the chapters to follow that we are revealed through Jesus, the Word of God, which you can go on and continue reading to know more about him. But we go on knowing that as we look at the eternal Son of God, we will be looking at the eternal, unchanging beauty and goodness of God. So here's my suggestion to you. Why not cut out the noise this Christmas? Turn off social media, detach from the news, apart from, you know, the really crucial COVID announcements. That's obviously okay. But stop scrolling and clicking through the cacophony of voices and listen to the Word, who speaks about the reality of who God is. And I'm speaking that to myself just as much as to everybody else. One way you could do this is to get a book of Christmas readings for Advent. Switch off and tune into his voice as he speaks truth. One of the books that I'd recommend that I found helpful before is Tim Chester's one. He's got a couple that you can find on 10 of those and other websites. Or John Piper's one is free to download from his website, desiringgod.org. Get something like that to tune your mind and your heart into Jesus and the eternal God this Christmas. Let the noise of 2020 be quietened with the truth. Well, what else can you expect if you let the Word of God speak to you this Christmas? Well, secondly, this, the darkness of 2020 will be illuminated with hope. The darkness of 2020 will be illuminated with hope. John, as he writes, is brilliant in the way that he uses different themes, big themes, to help us to see the significance of who Jesus is and what he's come to do. Images like light and life and truth and glory. And in his introduction here, he uses the image of light and dark to capture the powerful effect that the word has when it enters dark places. Now, we believe our words are powerful. In fact, I think one of the big cultural movements of this year has been about using your voice for good. And in many ways, that's a really, really important thing for us to believe. But the power of our words does have limits. How often do we feel like our voice doesn't really change anything? What about when we talk to ourselves to try and get ourselves to change? Or even, if you want a silly example and want to find out just how powerless your words are, try commanding Alexa to do something meaningful. It will just drive you mad. But yet we learn that when the word of God enters darkness, things change. Verse 4 says, "In him was life. That light was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not overcome it." Light here is doing two things. The light brings life and it reveals what is in the darkness. It reveals life. It brings life. At the beginning of John's gospel, we are introduced to someone who is self-existing life, if you can get your head around that. We read, "In him was life." And John still has the story of creation in mind as he speaks about it. Remember, he says, "In the beginning." Remember the creation account where God spoke and there was light. And into the darkness he brought existence with its fullness and its vibrancy and its liveliness. And it's this person who is now being revealed to the world. If he can do that for all of creation, then God, by this word, can bring new spiritual life into the dark deadness of our beings. And so as the word arrives, hope arrives with him too. Hope for a life that is more than just the darkness that we so often just become acclimatized to and accustomed to. We just believe it's part of life. So there is hope as the word of life comes. But for that to happen, we need to be aware of the other thing that light does, which is reveals what is in the dark. There is something about darkness which we enjoy. We like knowing that we're not being watched and that what happens in out of the darkness, it just stays there. A friend of mine, up until lockdown, worked for a cinema, and what he described to me was a great picture of this. Have you ever stayed to the very end of a film, right to the very end of the credits where the house lights come up? And you realize that carnage has happened. Wrappers everywhere, spillages and stickiness on the floor as you kind of, as you walk down the stairs, mud on the back of the seats as people put their feet up, popcorn, nachos, and who knows what else trampled into the carpets. And my friend would have to go in numerous times a day to clean it. People come in, lights go down, lights come up, chaos. And he has to clean it up all over again. We like the darkness. We act differently in the darkness. And yet I'm sure when watching a DVD at home with our family, the same events don't occur. We know we don't want our lives to be a 24/7 reality show on view where people can always see us. And so when the word uncovers us with the light, our temptation is to reject him. Later in John chapter 3, verse 19, we get these words. "This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil." Now, it's not surprising if we feel that way as we come to look at the word this Christmas. He'll uncover things about us that we would rather be left in the dark. And as history goes, when the light came into the world at Christmas, at Easter, we remember that we tried to put out that light because we didn't like what it revealed about us. We like it in the dark because our actions are hidden. But at the same time, we don't like it in the dark. We see the effects of the darkness on our world. And we see the effects of the darkness of our own hearts on ourselves and on those that we love. Which is why it's worth allowing the Word to speak into your life this Christmas, because He is the only one with the power to produce life and light in us. Now, if you're not a believer this morning in Jesus, then He is able to bring new spiritual life to you. He is the same person who brought this entire world and universe into being. He's got the qualifications. He is worth investigating. And so if you are tired of the darkness that you see in the world or that you see in yourself, you can come to Him and find so much more. But if you're a believer this morning, then you know that you already have spiritual life already. But Jesus can help bring into light the things that try and pull you backwards towards the darkness where you no longer belong. So a suggestion for you could be, why not pray with a friend or someone from the leadership team? If 2020 has done a number on you and you know that there are things that need to be brought into the light, share them. Pray with others. Because that is what Jesus wants to do in your life. John chapter 12, verse 46. I have come into the world as a light so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. Jesus' heart for you this morning is that light would uncover those things, that you would know life and freedom again. If you listen to the Word, the darkness of 2020 will be illuminated with hope. Now, the last reason why it's worth listening to the Word this Christmas is this. The emptiness of 2020 will be filled with intimacy. The emptiness of 2020 will be filled with intimacy. This year, by far, has been one of the strangest years for our relationships. Now, some will have had lots more time and investment into them because, you know, you were locked down with certain individuals, with family members or housemates, and you actually got more time together than you were expecting. And that's probably been a huge benefit for many this year. But for the most part of this year, it's been a challenging year for our relationships. For all of us, it's meant social distancing, which if you're a hugger like me, that's a real challenge. It's also meant isolation and shielding for many, which as well is even tougher. But the remarkable truth is that because the Word has come into this world, our relationship with God can continue even when we are kept from everyone else. I know for a good number, whilst this year has felt quite empty of relationships with other people, intimacy with God has grown. Now, I'm sure for a number of us, it's also been quite an up and down year for us spiritually. But Christmas reminds us that God has reached out to us. God wants us to have intimacy with Him. And when we talk about spiritual life, as we were just talking about, that is about relationship with God. Look at verses 12 and 13 from our passage. Yet to all who receive Him, to those who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. He describes us as being born of God. God's big idea has always been about bringing you and me into closeness with Himself. Isn't that? That's just incredible. But we know that relationships don't just happen. You can be alive and in the same room with someone and not be present. I'm sure all of us have had that situation where you found yourself in a room with others, maybe teenagers, but adults as well, and everybody's just sat looking at their screen, kind of screen zombies. I'm terrible for it. We're alive, but we're not present and investing in relationship. We have to invest in this intimacy with God. But the wonderful thing is this. God has made the first move. God is already waiting for us. He has made Himself known to us through the Word. That is incredible. He wants intimacy with you. Now, we may have to get creative in the way that we've had to get more creative and dedicated to making time with family this year, over dinner or Zoom quiz nights as we do, or walks socially distantly one-to-one. We've managed to get creative. But what an opportunity for us as we head towards Christmas for us to get creative with how we grow intimacy with God. I've got a few suggestions, but you've probably got some even better ones. You can get a prayer partner to walk and pray with over the Christmas period. Just say, can we do that for the next few weeks? Go for a walk, talk and pray. You could go for a worship walk, just you and God. Take some earphones, listen to some worship music, and focus your mind and your heart on Him. You can have a Zoom book club where you read a Christian book together and you discuss it together, or a film club if you'd rather discuss Christmas films. Or if you're particularly crafty, then do something with maybe a Bible verse that allows you to think on it as you get creative. You could put it up in the house, whatever it might be. Do something so that the Word of God is there and present as you come into Christmas. He is reaching out to us with His eternal Word. How much more is there yet for us to know of Him, the eternal God? Now, for some listening, you might be right at the beginning of your conversation with God. You might be thinking, how do I reply? Okay, God has revealed Himself in Jesus. How do I reply? Well, I think the first thing to do is just find out more. And come the new year, we're going to have something called the Big Questions course. It's going to be on Zoom. It's just going to be a series of nights on Zoom where a group can meet together and we're just going to discuss some of those bigger questions that all of us have, that we believe the Bible and Jesus have the answers to. This would be a great place to start. That's going to happen in the first week of January, so keep an eye out for that on our social media. But until then, maybe try reading John's Gospel. It's relatively short. It's the account of Jesus' life. Let Him speak in the run-up to Christmas. And for those of us who are believers, you might think of friends or family who would actually value something like the Big Questions course. So you could bring them along. Log in. You don't have to drive anywhere. It's fine. Just log on in. Join us for a conversation to give people the space to find hope after a strange year. Is there hope for Christmas 2020? Well, God's big idea is that He would come and reveal Himself in Jesus so that we could know Him. Yes, there's hope. Hope for truth, for hope itself, and for intimacy. So let's look to Jesus. Let's listen to the words and His life and know Him. Let's pray. Father, we thank You that there is a time in our year where we can make space to celebrate You and to bring to our minds and to our hearts that You have come. You have sent Your word, the Lord Jesus, that we would know You and that we would know relationship with You. Lord, however we are, whether we're overwhelmed with the noise of the year, maybe we're overwhelmed by the darkness of the year or the emptiness of the year, Lord, would we come to You to find a full and meaningful and wondrous Christmas, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.